Hey everyone, it's Braden here from Podfather Creative. I am the resident producer at Marketing News Canada, and I just wanted to give a huge congratulations to Darian and the team on their 200th episode. That is a lot of episodes, and it's a huge accomplishment. Anyways, we've got lots of amazing episodes coming down the pike for you guys, starting with this one here with Eric Lebowitz from Critical Mention. Enjoy.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am joined here by Eric Lebowitz, who is the Vice President of Marketing at Critical Mention, the leading earned media platform. He has more than a decade of experience in digital marketing, branding, and communications with a focus on technology. Eric, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So full disclosure, part of the reason I was so excited to have you on the show was we use Critical Mention at Jelly. And there has been a time when we didn't use Critical Mention. And those that have never used the tool or know what it was, so those that have heard of Google Alerts, because there was a time, and I will admit, when our firm was just thrown off, where Google Alerts was the tool that let us know if a client or, you know, their brand or the person was mentioned in the news, and Google would send us these daily alerts. It's a free tool for anyone to use. If you, as a person listening to this show, haven't set up your name or your company's name in Google Alerts, do it. It's free. Check it out. Whereas Critical Mention, the minute we started using that for our clients, it was like, man, it found every radio, every TV, like it found every cut. Like it would literally go into the TV interview and find that cut and pull it. And the reports we could provide our clients was mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because when I first started working at Critical Mention about 3 years ago, the easiest way for me to explain to people what the company was that, you know, to say it's like Google Alerts on steroids.
Yeah, that's a great description. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's actually, even since I've worked here, I've sort of come to realize like there's even more to it than that. I mean, that is a great way to sort of get a base understanding of what it does. You know, and like you mentioned, radio, TV, we recently added podcasts because obviously, you know, as we talk here on this podcast, we understand what a big part of media podcasts has become.
So this will show up in the Critical Mention report for Critical Mention.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
Because we've said the word Critical Mention.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Nice. Yeah.
So podcasts are becoming, I mean, we're, you know, that's a relatively new product. So we're adding new podcasts all the time, but we already have several thousand, and you know, that number is, you know, increasing by the week. We've also added a media contact database. So there's that element of a platform which didn't exist when I got here.
Be like almost like you're competing with like, say, Cision or Meltwater, like, or Muckrack?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean,
oh, wow. Eric.
Yeah. Traditionally, obviously, you know, with Cision and Meltwater specifically, those are, you know, those are bigger companies than we are. But, you know, we have made a lot of investments in engineering, new product. I mean, last year was really, with everything going on, obviously with the pandemic, we were still able to have what I would say was a banner year in terms of new product releases. You know, YouTube monitoring, podcast monitoring, the media contact database. We've really made an investment in making the platform really an all-in-one earned media tool. And there's more to come in that vein, but it's been very exciting.
And all the times, and you'll, you know, anyone who gets the tool gets a assigned customer service person. Anytime we have seen our client in a media outlet and then told our said customer service person, they fix it right away. And then that then is added in it for, you know, going forward.
Yeah, I would say that in some ways that's actually, you know, our biggest differentiator. I mean, I think that we have great technology. I think that we have great engineers. We have a very fast platform, but I think above all, we have account managers who are essentially, you know, customer service reps, as you mentioned. And, you know, every client has a dedicated customer service, you know, account manager. And that person just really knows those accounts inside and out, understands what, you know, Jelly Marketing needs in its daily reports, knows who the key players are in that team, who, you know, if they need some help with something, the account manager is right there. So it's something that we really pride ourselves on. It's the way that I think we retain clients, the reason we have so many long-term clients. And it's, you know, in some ways, like I said, I think that is our biggest differentiator, or at least one of them.
Yeah. And I think almost, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is that as the person that went from, you know, converted to buy the tool, right? Like we went from Google Alerts, you know, kind of monitoring things manually. Like every time we saw our client, you know, we would go out and manually copy and paste it into a sheet. Mm-hmm. I think it was not only a mix of like taking on a certain number of clients was one, was the quantity of clients. And then the second one was the level of clients. So we did a campaign with 7-Eleven Canada. And you know, it was free Slurpee day. I don't know if you know this, but more Slurpees are consumed in the world in Winnipeg, Manitoba than anywhere else. It's pretty exciting.
Wow, so I did Slurpee, not know that.
Yeah, Slurpee capital of the world. So we did, you know, it was an exciting day. And so on free Slurpee day and doing a bunch of PR within Winnipeg, like we're talking hundreds of hits that day. And there's no way, well, maybe there was possibly, maybe it is possible, but it seemed like it didn't make any sense to use the staff time and the math would have staff time manually finding those hundreds of hits. And even if we did find the hits, it wouldn't be as good as like what we got in critical mention because it actually cut the sound bites out for us. And then the flip side of saying paying that monthly fee for the tool. And I think that's what was what finally converted us. So I don't know, is that what you see kind of like the, you know, you think of the funnel and your role as marketing director is when do you find those jelly marketings who are at that verge of either growing or getting the level of clients that need that robust tool?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of our business. I think, you know, growing agencies who need a tool, who, you know, are who have never used a paid tool, as we would call it, like are using a Google Alerts or doing things manually is a huge part of our business. Obviously, there are some cases where we're also, you know, we have clients or prospects that might be using other tools and for whatever reason, critical mention is a better fit. You know, we have that element to it too. But like you mentioned, I mean, like any technology, I mean, part of the appeal is to eliminate a lot of that manual work and to have something that works, you know, in an automated fashion that is more or less, you know, set it and forget it. I mean, you have your search terms and you under, you know, you have your alerts set up and you know that that's a reliable tool that you can, as you mentioned, have the staff work on campaigns, have the staff work on, you know, journalist pitches, whatever, you know, your staff is doing. You would probably rather they not be, as you said, manually, you know, doing these searches, inputting them into spreadsheets.
Copy paste.
Exactly. So there are certainly better ways for employees at agencies and brands to be using their time. And, you know, certainly the agencies that are growing and growing quickly, as you mentioned, are oftentimes the ones that come to critical mention and say, we need a better way of doing this. And, you know, hopefully and usually we're able to provide that better way.
Yeah. And full disclosure, those that are listening, Marketing News Canada was not paid nor supplied a tool in any way. This is a purely editorial. So in case you're wondering if you're like, this seems like a sales pitch. I genuinely love the tool, use the tool. I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. And, you know, we take so much pride in that. I mean, we do have, I think, a number of what I would call evangelist clients. You know, obviously, Jelly Marketing is a huge one, and we're thrilled to be able to, you know, collaborate in any way that we can. But yeah, it's wonderful to hear. I mean, any company with a product loves to hear those love letters. So it's great to hear. Thank you for saying that.
So what do you think I'm paying? So do you know what level of, because I know what I pay in Canadian, but you have it in the US dollars. Like, is there different tiers and levels for someone to get on the product and start using it?
There really aren't tiers. We have a very customizable packaging because there are so many different needs in terms of how many seats you need, you know, what content sets you need. So it's really not, I mean, there are sort of, you know, there's a very wide sort of range of pricing, but it's really pretty customizable in terms of, you know, we have some, you know, huge agencies that need custom reporting. And then we have some, you know, congressional offices where the need is extremely narrow.
Yes.
And it kind of, you know, it runs the gamut all the way from one to the other.
And so I'm like, I think we're 3 seats and I think we monitor probably 25 clients. And I think Canadian wise, I think we pay about $700 a month Canadian. And, and with that, it's been incredible. And if I just do even the quick math on the $700 Canadian to pay someone that in labor hours to do the work that Critical Mention does for us, you know, we're making, you know, 4 or 5x fold on, you know, the return on investing in critical mention, which has been awesome. Plus the reports look so good. Like when we present it to a client, the other thing they love is that they can then find those pieces. And if the client is savvy enough, or if we're doing their social media for them as well, they're then able to grab those pieces in real time and put them on social media because they know exactly where the radio section is. They know exactly where that TV segment is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the reporting is obviously a huge, and the look of the reporting. I mean, we have, we've tried over the years to really keep the look and feel of the platform very modern and current. So, you know, the look and feel of the platform and then the reports too is also a big differentiating factor. And I'm sure our product team would be thrilled to hear you say that. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So on that note, do you know, like, do you end up having like social media teams kind of say, hey, I use it to find content to post on social? Because then all of a sudden they get real time. Okay, I'm going to grab that and use it on social media.
Yeah, we have social teams that, the platform monitors Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram is coming this year.
Nice.
Yeah. So we have, we have quite a bit of social content that is part of the mix. I mean, it's just another content set that you can purchase as part of a package, and you can monitor social media channels that way.
TikTok? You on the TikTok? You monitoring the TikTok?
It's a big debate here internally. Whether or not, you know, TikTok is going to be something that we add. So it certainly could end up on the product roadmap.
What about Reddit or Quora?
Reddit has been a big topic of conversation lately, especially in the wake of
GameStop.
Robinhood. Yeah, exactly. So these are things that, you know, we talk about in weekly product meetings. Yeah. And, you know, I think those two that you mentioned specifically have been major, along with, you know, we've talked about some of the other trends, you know, Substack, things that are happening that are a little outside of the, sort of typical, I guess, I don't know what typical media is these days anyway, though. There's so many different channels. So, you know, that's one of the things that makes it fun, but also challenging, is there's so many different things we can add.
So many.
We just try to figure out, okay, what's going to meet the most clients' needs, you know, and try to go from there.
It's brilliant. So you mentioned, which I didn't know about, you guys now offer media databases.
We do. We have a media contact database that is over 1 million records.
What?
You know, yeah. And it took us about 18 months to develop it. We did an unbelievable amount of work. I was really in awe of the team that built this.
So is it an add-on to what I have right now? Like what I've got? Maybe we missed the email. Maybe it's bad. I feel bad. We missed the email. Would have said, hey, add this on. It's X dollar. Like, what's the fee to add that on to our package?
So again, it depends. There's not a flat fee because there's some different levels that you can use with the media contact database as well. But yeah, we try to send, you know, that's always a challenge too, is letting people know about new products, you know.
Yeah.
We do try to send emails and you know, make sales calls, but it's a relatively new product, but you know, we have a mix of AI and human touch, as we call it, in terms of how records are updated.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're updated, we think, more frequently than any of the other competitors in the market.
Yeah. Because I'll often be on Cision and be like, wow, that is real old. And I'm like, you know, or same thing with Meltwater, right? It's like, Muckrack does a great job. Muckrack weirdly has really good updated contacts. I don't know what they do differently than Cision and Meltwater, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, it's certainly, you know, the bigger the database, I think.
And the media landscape changes so much, right? From like CTV to like, you name the media outlet is either letting go of staff, you know, every month, if not every week, it seems. And they're moving around from freelance to working for one outlet.
That's a huge challenge. And it's certainly something that, you know, our team's been hard at work trying to figure out. But then COVID added a whole nother layer to it, because, you know, as many layoffs as there were in the media landscape and people changing before COVID, it's just a whole nother level now. So that's definitely a challenge. And I know there's a lot of variation, as you mentioned, between different players in the space.
Yeah.
Some do it better than others. And, you know, again, like, it's a relatively new product for us, but we put a lot of work into it before going live to hopefully be right at the top there in terms of accuracy and recency of the records.
Nice. Do you like one of my favorite places to go is Menchie's ice cream. You go mm-hmm. in there, you get little samples, little mini cups. Do you offer a free like month or a week to try out this media database, see if we like it? Or yeah. Critical Mention, do you offer a free trial of Critical Mention?
Yeah, I mean that a lot of times we don't usually do like month-long trials, but we will sometimes give people access for a few days just so they can understand yeah. what the tool offers and kind of it's sort of, you know, again, bit of a case by case basis, but yeah. I mean, it definitely is something we've done for prospects who just want to understand, like, you know, how can I use this? How is this going to help me in my day to day? So,
yeah. So talking about B2B like marketing. So for you, is it like the Canadian Public Relations Society and the American Public Relations Society, is that like your fish in a barrel? Like that's all your, you know, potential clients are literally sitting there in a society that could use your tool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it. I mean, one of the great things about working at Critical Mention is there's almost nobody outside of, you know, our target market. I mean, we obviously have a lot of our business comes from the agency world. I mean, that's a huge piece of it. But we also have, I mean, anybody who gets any media coverage and yeah. who wants to understand anything about their brand or what's going on, you know, is a potential client.
That's brand side probably a lot. And IABC, probably like mm-hmm. the, yeah, yep. that's yeah. another organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's really anybody. I mean, there's also government communications agencies because we have a lot of government agencies and people and political offices, you know, the healthcare space. So there's a lot of different organizations and, you know, different conferences that, you know, make sense for us in terms of, you know, if there's somebody there who works in communications or PR and wants to understand, you know, the strength of their brand and what's going on, you know, Critical Mention is potentially a fit. So I think, like you mentioned, I mean, those PR societies are probably at the top of the list, but then, you know, there's sort of smaller, more niche associations that also, you know, allow us to reach people who could be Critical Mention users.
That's awesome. So you've released a lot. That sounds like a lot of great upgrades, you know, great updates to the tool. What are you looking at for this next year? What are something that we can expect or something that you're excited about for Critical Mention?
So we're a couple of weeks away from Google Analytics integration.
What?
That is the next, you know, I would say major release. It's something that we, you know, had thought about adding for a number of years. And we finally made the decision last year that as we try to build a more inclusive all-in-one platform where, you know, marketing is increasingly a piece of it, Google Analytics, you know, is something that we need to add. So that is literally, you know, like I mentioned, a few weeks away.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great. And, you know, so as somebody whose background is in digital marketing, I'm obviously, you know, super excited to see that
yeah.
in the platform. And then I think the next major release after that would be the Instagram piece, which will be try to round out our social media or at least kind of broaden what we do in the social space.
And then you'd call it like more listening. Would you call it more ears you're adding to your tool?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. I mean, I think the especially, you know, this in social, the social listening piece is definitely, you know, and we're broadening, just kind of broadening what you can monitor in the tool.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely going to be doing some updates and changes to the way that the analytics platform display and like what we're able to give clients from an analytics perspective. There'll probably be some small changes in design, which, you know, just in terms of we're always, you know, like any technology company doing iterative changes. And then I think, you know, there'll probably, you know, be some stuff later in the year that, you know, we're still kind of deciding what the order is going to be in terms of, you know, what we're going to tackle next. But I would say like in the near term, those are, you know, those are the big ones and those are the ones that we're, you know, really excited about.
It's amazing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, that's really cool about the product. Such cool updates. Switching gears here a bit, I need to talk about this next year, the earned media landscape.
Sure.
Those that are listening to the show that are in the earned media world, those that are curious about the earned media world, what do you think it looks like for this next year? Just with the staffing situations, the newsrooms, you know, what do you see? Because you come from such a great perspective. Like, you've literally got your finger on the pulse to thousands of people that do PR.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things that, I mean, first of all, I think the earned media space in general is going to be so important, frankly, because a lot of the, you know, the paid advertising budgets have just kind of disappeared. And that's just a function of the economy in general, you know, I think we're all hoping that that turns around. You know, we're all hoping that, you know, with the vaccine rollout in the United States and then in Canada, especially, that the economy is going to turn around. But earned media is going to, I think, play a bigger role in terms of just, you know, getting that brand recognition, even for, I think, brands who maybe relied more on the paid space in the past.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I was just reading about how, you know, Google is going to change the way that, you know, next year that they allow people to target on the user level.
Oh, yeah. Which,
you know, that to me, again, sort of points a finger towards earned media again.
Oh, yeah, man. The cookies are disappearing, man. Cookie Monster showed up. He's eating them. They're going.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and I think that sort of the corporate responsibility and messaging is going to be a big piece of earned media moving forward. I just think what the last year has sort of done to everybody is just, you know, made it so that I think people are just paying a lot more attention to that. I mean, you know, I forget the exact number, but there's such a huge percentage now of folks who say that they really won't even interact with a brand if they feel like the, you know, they don't agree with their core beliefs or they feel like they've acted irresponsibly. So I think that's a big piece as well. And then, as you mentioned, just the changes in the media landscape make it so that you just kind of need, whether we're talking about a media contact database or whatever, you just kind of need the up-to-date and accurate data. You know, data is I think something that, you know, has been a big part of marketing for a long time. I think it's starting to, you know, get more of a foothold in the comms and PR space as well. It's, you know, something that I know we're focused on and we're hearing from a lot more clients about wanting to add different data sources and give people, you know, a little bit of a more drill down view into the impact that their earned media is having on the business as a whole for those brands that are interested in the bottom line type thing. So I think those are kinds of the, you know, the areas that I'm looking at as, you know, going to kind of set the tone in 2021. And, but the last thing I would say is if the last year has taught us anything, it's super unpredictable. Also, you just have to be adaptable because, I mean, I don't think nobody that I talk to could even imagine that this would be the world that we're living in.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think, you know, the adaptability piece is just, and you know, and the agility is a big factor as well.
That's awesome. What's it like being kind of headquartered in the kind of the New York area? Do you find you end up like running into and talking to other kind of New York based, like whether it's publications or folks that are in the software as a service business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many obviously different kinds of businesses that are located in the city, and you know, that's been one of the tough things, honestly, about the past year is, you know, our office is right in Midtown. It's super convenient to Grand Central. I mean, it's walking distance, which is amazing for, you know, we definitely have a fair number of folks who live in Manhattan and can walk or take the subway, but we also have, you know, a fair number of people who are commuting from either other boroughs or, you know, the suburbs around the city. So that office space is super convenient to Grand Central, and just kind of the buzz of the city and you know, all this, that's been tough. You know, the last year we've all sort of lost that. And I think, you know, we all hope that it's coming back, but yeah, you know, there's so much media in New York. There are so many cool and upcoming companies. I mean, you know,
New York Times.
Yep. And there's, you know, there are, you know, very cool startups that are launching all the time. And then also like, there's a, you know, Salesforce Tower that's a couple of blocks from Critical Mention that is a like an amazing, super cool building. So there's kind of everything.
That's amazing. And maybe Squarespace is a client, and we're going to say Squarespace, and it's going to show up in their Critical Mention report on their podcast listing here, which is awesome, right in New York. Charity Water, an amazing charity. I don't know if they're a client, but here we go. Charity Water. Now they're going to get a Critical Mention mention?
Yeah, we have, I think, about 2,500 clients right now. So, you know, awesome. I know a lot of the names. I'll say this: if they're not currently a client, I guarantee you somebody on the sales team is trying to make it so that they are a client. So they're either a client or they're a prospective client. That's kind of the way we look at it.
That's amazing. Well, Eric, you feel fired up? Ready to do a little rapid fire round here?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is awesome. Thank you for being on the show. I'm going to check out that media database listing because that's amazing. Because I know as an agency person, I see every month the costs for all the software that we pay for. And the idea of being able to almost kind of merge the costs into one is a great opportunity. So I'm going to check that out.
Thank you. Please do. And like I said, we try to spread the word, but that's the tough thing too. And as you guys know, in marketing, it's people are busy. I mean, they're doing, a lot of stuff. They're wearing a lot of different hats, especially, in COVID. So sometimes those messages get missed. And that's why, doing this podcast is so great, because it's just another opportunity for me to talk about, not just Critical Mention, but the earned media landscape as a whole.
It's awesome. That's great. Thank you, Eric. Yeah. What was your first job?
So I think my first job was probably as like a camp counselor, but I think the job that I sort of identify as being my first job that where I really was like, okay, this is a job, was as a Starbucks barista. I think I was 18 or 19 and had to go and open the store at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I worked in a Starbucks that was in a train station where people were commuting to Manhattan. Wow. So as you can imagine, like people were not really thrilled if you couldn't get their drink ready on time as they were headed into Midtown Manhattan. So that was a good learning experience. I think it was as much pressure there as I've had at any job since then in some
ways.
That's
amazing. That's amazing. Can you do like a New Yorker accent that we see in the movies? Can you do a true?
I could try, but I don't think it would be very good.
Really?
Do you think that I have a New York accent as I'm talking to you right now?
Not like in the show, like New Yorker, right? Where it's like
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I'm not sure. That's another thing about New York is different areas have different, like, not only different accents, but different, like, the severity of the accent really.
Yeah. Goes. Okay. That's awesome.
Some parts of Brooklyn or like Staten Island, I always found to be like such an interesting accent that doesn't really sound like anything else in New York.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it just, I don't notice it. I've had people from other parts of the country say like, oh, you have a bit of a New York accent. Yeah. But I don't really, I don't notice it too much.
That's awesome. So random fact for you, the first ever international Starbucks, so Starbucks outside of America, was in Vancouver, BC, Canada, in a SkyTrain station, which is kind of like the subway of Vancouver, but it's above ground for most of it, and right in the train station there. Pretty exciting.
Wow. So that's kind of the same deal as where I work.
Yeah, poor folks are quite stressed there. Yeah. So are you a night owl or an early bird?
I'm definitely a night owl.
Night owl, nice. Perfect. And then going to dog or cat person, what are you?
That's so tough. We have, my wife and I have two cats and I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
So, and I grew up with a cat. So I would have to say cat person, but I'm sort of an animal lover in general.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother has like an amazing dog.
Yeah.
So I hate to choose one or the other, but I'd probably have to go with cat if I had to make a decision.
Nice. What was the first thing you ever marketed?
So I started in, I've always sort of worked in tech marketing. And I think the first thing I marketed was a unified communications system. Yeah. I was writing a lot of blogs and like website copy for a company that sold unified communication software. So I believe that's the first individual product I ever marketed.
Nice. What's your first memory of a newspaper you read or a radio station you listened to?
So I definitely remember listening to WFAN in New York, which was, the big sports station.
Yep.
But actually, I think that the thing, and I'm not sure that this was the first newspaper I read, but in fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher did a unit on the New York Times.
Oh, cool.
And that actually really, I went to school as a journalism major, and I really can point back to that unit as the thing that got me interested in journalism. It was an amazing unit. He was probably the best teacher I ever had. He was just unbelievable.
What was his name?
His name was Mr. Grossman.
Mr. Grossman. Huge thank you, Mr. Grossman, from Eric.
Yeah.
Right here. Look where he's come. It's very cool.
I always tell people that, especially young people who are teachers. I just say like it had a huge impact on my life. It was such a cool unit.
It's awesome. Now, jumping ahead, dark or milk chocolate?
Probably dark chocolate. Like both a lot, but probably have to go with dark.
Okay. Number one thing on your bucket list right now?
I think I'd like to go to like New Zealand, probably.
Yep. Very cool. Have some lamb, play some rugby.
Yeah, my parents did a trip. Actually, they got back literally as COVID was sort of exploding, and they did like a 3-week trip. And just seeing the pictures and everything just made me feel like that's something I got to try to find a way to do eventually.
Perfect. What is your favorite word right now?
My favorite word right now, probably vaccine, maybe.
Yeah. There you go. No, that's great. That's great. And what's a word that needs to die right now?
I'm going to go in the same vein and say pandemic.
Okay. I like it.
I'd love to never hear that again.
Perfect. What is the last charity you supported financially or with volunteer time, and why?
Well, I think in terms of volunteering my time, I actually worked as a election worker this year at the polls.
Okay.
And I volunteered there, and I worked a 17-hour day helping people to vote, which was a wonderful experience. That usually a lot of the folks who do that are retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this year, obviously, there were some risks associated with the polls. Yep. And so a lot of the older people who usually do this, you know, didn't want to do it, very understandably. So I volunteered there, which was a great experience. I mean, it was exhausted when I was finished, but it was great. It was a great time. In terms of charities that I supported, I always support the American Heart Association and the Alzheimer's Association.
Yep.
I've had some people in my family who have, you know, had Alzheimer's, and it's obviously really rough, and just hoping, you know, someday soon they'll have something that can combat that. But those would be the main ones.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Sure.
What is a movie you love?
Raiders of the Lost Ark is probably a favorite that I can go back to the well with anytime, anytime I'm browsing and it's on, or I just feel like kind of, you know, relaxing and just being entertained. I think that's a go-to.
That's awesome. Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Oh man, that's a great question. Favorite song or album on repeat. I've been listening to a lot of Chuck Berry.
Okay. Yeah.
Chuck Berry. I mean, that's something that my dad got me into. I mean, it's obviously way before my time, but just kind of cycling through some of his greatest hits is, you know, it's just fun, it's uplifting, you know, in a time where it's, you know, you need that. So I would say I never get tired of listening to Chuck Berry stuff.
That's awesome. If you weren't doing this job right now, what would you be doing?
You know, I think I always, you know, coming out of college, I expected that I was going to work in journalism. So that probably, you know, it's a tough environment, obviously. I mean, I really admire the people who have stuck in there and made their living in journalism, because it really is difficult. And I think, frankly, I think we're the worst, you know, we're the worst for it as a society in terms of not having as much quality journalism as we did, at least, you know, in the States, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So I think that would probably be what I'd be doing, hopefully, and either if I wasn't able to work at a large paper, you know, I think even the small local papers really serve an important function.
That's great. Daily Bugle, maybe.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I did
Daily Planet.
Yeah, Daily Planet. Yeah, absolutely.
That's perfect. What's an app on your phone you can't live without?
I would have to, you know, Instagram is probably the one. I mean, I know that's like a bit of a boring choice, but
it's a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big I love to play golf. Golf is, you know, it's kind of, I have some buddies that I play with a lot, and a lot of what I do on Instagram is just looking at really awesome pictures of golf courses around the world that I'd like to eventually get to, or ones that I've been to that I'm sort of longing to go back to.
So I
would say Instagram is a, and actually the other one would be Noom, which is like a weight loss app, which has really helped me over the last few months, especially after I had packed on quite a few pounds with COVID. It kind of helped me get back in control a little bit of of some of, you know, my eating habits. So yeah. I should mention Noom too, because that's been really great.
Yeah, they helped me figure out that I learned about fog eating. I'm a fellow Noomer here, so I would say very strong fog eater, which I finally, once they described it, really helped a lot. So
yeah, I got one of my brothers using it, and he's having success. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, man. What is your favorite children's book?
Favorite children's book. This is an obscure one that probably not a lot of people have heard of, but I read these series of books called the Angel Park All-Stars. They were like baseball books.
Yeah.
Great. And they were about like kids are playing on a baseball team and just, you know, and when I was reading them, I was a young kid playing baseball.
Yeah.
Cool. And they, you know, they just were really kind of, they dealt with a lot of different kinds of issues and stuff, but also they had some really cool just kind of baseball action scenes. So I don't know if that's something that anybody nowadays reads or if they're even still in circulation, but I really love those as a kid.
That's awesome. What is the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
It's a great question. The most important thing. I think this is a little philosophical. I don't know that it was like exactly a change of mind, but I just think when I graduated from high school, all I wanted to do was go to college far away from my family.
Yeah.
I just wanted independence. I just wanted, you know, I just, that was it. High school, I was, you know, my parents were always bugging me. Yeah. And I think I learned, you know, over the years that actually it's the most, you know, and this, it happens through different health scares and things that, you know, kind of make you understand as you get older, what's really important. And now I can't really imagine living far away from any of the people in my immediate family. You know, we're all sort of New York based. And I think that was a big change and realization that happened between the time I graduated high school and the time I sort of became a functioning adult, if you will.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's a great story. What is the best thing you ever bought for $10?
Best thing I ever bought for $10. I would say I bought this little greens reading app for playing golf that was really helpful, that I think was less than 10 bucks. And it really, it helped me to really become a better putter. It was something I was a little bit like skeptical about, and it was actually really high quality. And it was something that really helped me playing. So I would say I probably got the most value out of that.
Nice. Marketing book you'd recommend?
I think, you know, truthfully, I haven't read a ton of like marketing books. Yeah. I think I've read a lot of books that have helped me to understand marketing better from, you know, I'd actually say this is going to sound really weird, but the Abraham Lincoln biography, Team of Rivals, as weird as that sounds, I think really helped me understand like the importance of messaging and what an unbelievable communicator he was in terms of getting his ideas across and the art of persuasion.
In
terms of like being able to talk to people in a way that got them to kind of put their preconceived notions away and open up their minds and think about things differently, which I think it's a huge part of marketing. So bit of a strange answer, but I think that was one of the books that sort of impacted my life in a lot of different ways. And that was definitely one of them.
Awesome. What is a podcast that you'd recommend for those in marketing, PR, communications?
Oh man, I listen to so many different podcasts.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm a big fan of like a lot of the stuff that 538 does, you know, from a data perspective. I think it's just really helpful to understand the way that like data can just give you a better hold on trends and understanding how to, again, I think the idea of like trying to, in some cases, leave your priors behind and understand, be a little more open-minded in terms of understanding that something that you thought going into a given situation or a given problem, you know, you have to be willing to look at the data to understand, you know, what's really going on. So I would say, you know, some of the 538 podcasts
What's like a newsletter or website you go to for resources, inspiration?
I love, from a marketing perspective, I love HubSpot's stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I've been a big fan of HubSpot for a long time. I think their marketing content, they just have so much. And so like, no matter what you're looking for, you know, you asked a question about marketing books, and I think, you know, it's more for me educationally, it's more stuff like that I feel like I've sort of learned through over the years is just, you know, different sites like that. So HubSpot is a big one. And then I think there's other stuff outside of, there's a newsletter called Slow Boring, which is a Substack newsletter, a guy Matt Iglesias. And so sort of like very in the weeds, you know, politics and policy type stuff.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. I like to kind of drill down on issues and really understand them. So that's a cool one. Yeah.
Okay. Last question for the rapid fire. What is the last thing that you Googled?
The last thing that I Googled was, I think, I hate to bring it back to COVID, but I'm so like into how many doses of vaccines we're doing every day in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably the last thing this afternoon. Every day I'm like, okay, we got 2 million more down, and you know, we're you know, the percentage of people every day creeps up a little bit. Yeah. So that's probably the last thing I Googled.
Amazing. Eric, thank you for sharing. Thank you for going through the rapid fire. You did amazing.
No, that was a lot of fun.
And thank you for sharing about the tool, what's coming down the pipe, and some inspiration ideas for those in the earned media sector.
Yeah, no, this was great. I really appreciate it. And like, I know you mentioned being big fans of Critical Mention, but we are big fans of Jelly also. And, you know, just you guys are awesome. So thanks so much for having me. And this was great.
Awesome. Thanks everyone for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. And we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.